Our morning scripture continues in Psalm 107, verses 4 through 22. There are three examples in these verses of how God's goodness hears those who cry out to him with repentant hearts. Verses 4 through 9, verses 10 through 16, and then verses 17 through 22. We begin at verse 4. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men, for he satisfies the thirsty, fills the hungry with good things. Some sat in darkness in the deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains, for they had rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the deepest gloom and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men, for he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent forth his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. Amen.
At this time, please stand if you are able, and we will sing our sermon hymn. Our sermon hymn is titled, God is So Good. It is found on page number 41 of your red hymnals.
That the men's choir sang this morning. They sounded great. Good words, so thank you. I'm also thankful that if I can single out Dale Grimm, stood up there and sung, I said, oops, Ann had sent me an announcement to share. So thanks, Dale, for cueing me in to think about Toledo Gospel Rescue Mission. There is an opportunity next Sunday, leaving here at 3 p.m. or so and going down to TGRM to lead the chapel and help serve the meal. So if anybody wants to be able to join them next Sunday the 19th at 3 p.m. Lynn has never figured out how my mind works, so don't try to figure it out. Thinking of Dale, TGRM, it works. If you were here last Sunday, I gave you part one of a sermon on patience. It was supposed to be a full sermon, but I didn't figure out my timing real well last Sunday, and so I said part two would come. Now, it's on the subject of patience, so I'm going to trust that you are patient people, and you will have to wait for patience part two until June 2nd. So I thought that was fitting that you would be patiently waiting. Because of the schedule of worship, I know the schedule of worship, there's people involved beyond me of selecting music and children's moments. We had this lined up, and so June 2nd will be patience part two. But we are looking at some of the fruit of the Spirit. I picked out three of them that I'm dealing with and need more of, and I think we all can do that. But then it's kind of been received by people enough in comments that come June 2nd and on, we'll touch the other sixth. But from Galatians 5, 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So we started with self-control a couple of weeks ago, hit part of patience last week, and focusing in on goodness as a fruit of the Spirit. And unlike Cheerios and chocolate chips and jelly beans, God plants goodness in our hearts, and it can grow and develop as we are faithful to God and as we allow His Holy Spirit to lead us. Now, this fruit, these nine fruit, are character qualities. They're not emotions. They are how we are supposed to act. They don't deal with how we feel. So the reality is that there will be growth. To think about the goodness of God, the Bible reveals that God is good in so many different scriptures. If you look at the sermon outline in your bulletin, I have chosen to pick a little bit on from Amos chapter 5. When God acts with goodness, and God is the source of all goodness. The prophet of Amos is calling for the Israelites to a time of repentance from a time of sin. And in Amos chapter 5, there are three verses that kind of make use of the same phrase, but there's some substitution. So Amos 5 verse 4, seek me and live, the me being God. So Amos is teaching the Israelites, and the Bible is teaching us, seek God and live, seek me and live. In Amos 5 verse 6, seek the Lord and live. That's how we know that the me in verse 4 is God, or the Lord in verse 6. And then Amos 5 verse 14, seek good, not evil, that you may live. And so it's gone from me to the Lord to good. The Lord is good. And we are to seek God as we seek His goodness. Mark 10, 17 through 18. As Jesus started on His way, a man ran up to Him and fell on his knees before Him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus doesn't answer that question right away. Jesus responds with, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. So God is good, and goodness comes from God. We think about that in Genesis chapter 1 and the story of creation, the account of creation, the mantra of each thing that was created, or at the end of the day, God looked back and He saw that it was, way to answer, God saw that it was good. God is good. And in Matthew chapter 7, the Sermon on the Mount that we covered a few months ago, in verses 9 through 11, this is shared in the context of Jesus teaching us about prayer. Jesus says, which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? So the aspect about prayer and that God responds to our prayers in goodness. So God is good, and He wants us to bear that fruit of being good, of goodness. A Christian is not only to be good, but to be good for something. We are, to what Molly kind of shared, to let our light shine, that light being the light of Jesus Christ, to be worthy of our call and our calling, to teach others the knowledge of God, and to be the fruit of goodness in everyday life. The Hebrew word for goodness is an active term, so we are supposed to be active in sharing our goodness, and it's often directed toward what does not merit action. Goodness is generosity that springs from kindness, but when we look at people, when we consider people, maybe especially people that are different than ourselves, do we look at them with goodness intent, or are we questioning who they are and what they might be? Where are you going with this, Pastor Eric? Luke 23, verse 43, talks about the thief on the cross. The thief on the cross. He's a thief, and he's on the cross because he's being killed because of his sin. And yet the thief on the cross, when he spoke and acknowledged Jesus as the Christ, Jesus looked at the thief and said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus looked at the thief in goodness. He didn't see all that other stuff. He saw the good of that person because he understood who Jesus was. Do we look at other people with goodness in mind? Always with goodness in mind. Or are we looking at people to see what they've done wrong or their shortcomings or whatever that might be? But a positive attitude of looking at the good. I invite you to turn to Matthew 20 as we look at the parable of the workers in the vineyard. Matthew chapter 20. Jesus offers this parable for a critical lesson for us. Matthew 20, verse 1. "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard." This is common practice in biblical times where people that didn't have work, they could gather somewhere in the city, maybe it was at the gate or a city center, and people that needed some workers for the day, they would come and sign them up. That could begin at 6, and then this one went back at 9 and noon and 3 and back at 5. "About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, 'Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?' 'Because no one has hired us,' they answered. He said to them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard.'" Verse 8, "When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first.'" It's Jesus teaching. He's going to change things up. Probably should have paid the ones that had worked all day because they were tired and they could go home. But this is the parable for teaching. Now, the people listening to Jesus would have understood what was happening up until this point. "So when those came the workers who were hired about the 11th hour came and each received a denarius. They received what the first workers had been told. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. If the people that had worked an hour received a denarius, certainly those who had worked all day long would receive more. That's what's fair. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them, friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. In God's goodness, God is generous. He was generous to the thief on the cross. Following that parable of the workers, here's a second story which took place in a classroom at Hannibal LaGrange College back in 2002. It was the day for final exams. A student named Denise walked into the classroom minutes before the professor arrived. Everybody was there in the room, and they were doing that last-minute cramming. Then the professor entered and took a few minutes of review. And in that review, most of it was familiar, but there were some things that no one remembered hearing before. And then the professor offered that dreaded statement. This is your textbook, and you are responsible for all of the content in it. The time came for the test. He gave the word. Every student took up their pen and turned over their test. And here is what Denise would later say. I couldn't believe it. To my astonishment, every answer on the test was filled in. My name was even written on the exam in red ink. As they turned over their tests, a wordless stir traveled like a wave over the class as each student looked at their completed exam. On the bottom of the last page of every test was this note from the professor. All the answers on your test are correct. You will receive an A on the final exam. The reason that you passed the test is because the creator of the test took it for you. All the work you did in preparation for this test did not help you get the A. Consider what you've heard. The story about laborers who were paid a full day's wages for 1 hour's work. The story of an already completed exam that gave every student an undeserved A. What do these two have in common? The generous goodness of God. God wants us to experience His goodness. In Psalm 107, as we briefly look at this passage, we experience once again the goodness of God. If you read the whole chapter, it occurs four different times, or possibly a fifth one towards the end. But the prophet offers a mantra that occurs in verses 8 and 15 and 21. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for men. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for men. The Israelites, God's people, they had gone through a time of desertness. Their faith was dry, they had sinned, and they cried out, and God restored them in His goodness. Once again, they were being punished. They were in exile because of their lack of faith toward God. And in that time of exile, they cry out to God. And God hears their prayer and He restores them. Once again, they are in punishment because of their sin, and this time because of a disease. And they cry out to God. And God restores them and redeems them. That cycle of God's goodness is there. That we never need to let our sinfulness stand in the way of coming to God, confessing our sin, and seeking His forgiveness, because God is a God of goodness. And we can claim that redemption. And because God offers that goodness to all, He also challenges us through the life and the example of Jesus Christ, to offer that goodness to others. It's why I enjoy shopping. It's why I enjoy going to public events. I like to watch people. I like to see people who are different than I. How do I know they're different? They look different. They act different. They dress different. They're different on the outside. And too many times, we allow our outward decisions cloud the goodness of our heart. And in God's goodness, He longs for the day when we see one another in those eyes of goodness and welcome people and talk to them about the goodness of God. Let's pray. Lord, may we be in prayer to You that we would continue to seek Your goodness in an ever-growing sense of faith, and that we would have a good and a positive attitude, and we would have the desire and the courage to share Your goodness with others in our everyday life. To Your glory we pray. Amen.
Let's change verse 8 just a little bit. Let us give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for us. Because we love the Lord, we give from our hearts. I invite the ushers forward for our morning offering. Loving God, thank You for Your goodness and for providing us with the means, the will, and the opportunity to share Your love. May our gifts be used for Your mission in our church and in our world. Amen.
At this time, let us sing our closing hymn. It is Jesus Loves Even Me. It can be found on page number 357 of your red hymnal. And then after the closing hymn, we will have the spoken benediction. After the spoken benediction, we will sing the benediction in song. It is verse 4 of I Surrender All, which can be found on page number 366 for those of you who would like to follow along there. Let us sing.
May the goodness of God, your Creator, rest upon your hearts as you go forth in His mercy. Amen.